Welcome, everybody, to the Stoned On Sports Podcast. My name is Matt. Really happy to be here with you today. We are going to wrap up week 17. That is right, championship week. If you won your league, get in here. We want to hear about it. Before we jump into that, do want to say a quick thank you to everybody who comes to hang out with us and checks out our content, and especially those of you who subscribe. We really appreciate it, and you really make this really, really fun to do. As always, here I'm joined by these two big meaty men slapping meat, Kyle and Ramey. Kyle, last weekend it was a roller coaster of emotions. We had the debacle with the Lions Saturday night in Dallas. And then yesterday, Michigan Wolverines advanced to the national championship game.
Go blue. Yeah, Saturday was bad. I still felt like poop on Sunday morning about that game and just how it went down. And you know, it's been talked to death on all the shows and all this stuff. Y'all know what happened, and Detroit got hosed. But you know, whether they tried to some tomfoolery there, and then it ended up to fool the Cowboys, and it ended up fooling the referee Brad Allen as well, I don't know. It's done, it's over with, because Monday came and Michigan won the semifinal, beat Alabama, a damn good Alabama team at that. I'll still never understand why the call was a QB draw up the middle into the fucking pile, but oh, there it goes. But
works for you.
Yeah. Next Monday, you know what I'll be doing at 8:45 or whatever time it kicks off again. Playing Washington for the Natty. I think this is early 90s Rose Bowl rematch, right? What year was that?
Yes. Yep. Also 2024 Big Ten matchup.
Right. That's true. Yeah, they play each other next season as well because they're coming to the Big Ten. It's amazing. We've got some people in the chat. Captain Spock won two championships, got a second and a third. That's nice.
Damn. Dude. Very nice, brother. Very nice.
Congrats. Congrats. He won a total of $2,700. Hey. Shit.
Shoot.
Drinks are on you. Next time we're in Cali.
I won a $95 bet on DraftKings in the Michigan game yesterday, and I was happy about that. So
you and Blue Jays combined for $1,095,000 on Michigan last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. No, it was a wild one too. What was it? Corum to score two touchdowns, Milroe to have 50 plus rushing, and I did Michigan minus one, and I think Matt did Michigan minus 6.5. So he got a little bit higher, but yeah.
Oh,
Blue Jays is here as well. Welcome to the show. Or not welcome to the show, but welcome back to the show, I should say.
Welcome to Tuesday.
And Dubo, what's up? Go Big Blue. What a game. It was a great game. I'm glad you guys are all talking in the chat. It's awesome stuff. Hope you guys are all doing well and having a great New Year so far.
We know this guy's a Michigan fan.
Yeah, he is.
I'm sure he was happy.
Nice.
So, KIP.
Kip Brandon came over last night and we watched the game with me, and yeah, I live in an apartment and I'm sure the neighbor beneath me was very unhappy with 200-300 pound guys jumping up and down because we were loud when they won. We were jumping
up and down.
Well, I mean, jumping. that sounded bad, but you know, celebrating, I should have said celebrating.
Hey, they left high-fiving with joy.
Dad, you know, stuff like that, but
pats on the bottom.
Touching tips.
Yeah. But anyway,
just a tip though.
How are you guys doing? I know Matt, you're a little under the weather there. I'm glad you're hanging out anyway and making it through. And Ramey, how the heck have you been?
I'm good. Colts got a big win and two good games yesterday. There's been a lot of conversation about the other bowl games and how they can kind of fix them with all the opt-outs and just the matchups not being that great. There were a lot of bad games over this bowl season, but the playoff games did not disappoint. Great game going into overtime to start off with the Rose Bowl, and the Rose Bowl is always a fun game to watch. And then Texas and Washington had a nice game last night too. Washington was up comfortably and tried to give it away, but Texas couldn't take it. So we'll see Washington, like you said, and Michigan in the in the national championship game in Houston next week. So I'm excited for you guys. I'm happy for you guys. Kind of hurts a little bit, an IU fan, seeing a former quarterback and offensive coordinator for Washington playing in the game, trying to figure out how we let him leave town. But hey, can't worry about the past, and it'll be a fun game to watch. I think Michigan opened as a 4.5-point favorite.
Something like that. I saw before the game started yesterday, Michigan was a theoretical 6.5-point favorite against Washington prior to the game starting.
Yeah, it's 4.5 with an over under of 55.
Nice.
55.5, I'm sorry. So should be a little bit more scoring.
That'll work, but enough college football. Why don't we get on to the NFL? We've got some fantasy stuff to go over. And before I do that, so the term dickhead is usually reserved for a player on a team, and I just can't remember his name, but I just want to say, David Tepper, you're a dickhead.
Yes. Yes, he is.
All right, what game's
David,
first?
David Tepper, that's his new nickname. I'm going to forever call him David Tepper because he obviously has a temper.
Where'd he go to school?
I don't know. The only thing he's good at is firing coaches.
Right. Well, he is good at, you know, moving big piles of money around on paper and making it himself richer. Yeah,
that's good. A pretty good arm,
but anyway, too.
Yeah, anyway. All right, let's just start with Patriots Bills.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sorry. It happens to be the first banner on here. I threw this all together in a hurry today due to some work issues. So,
you said doo-doo.
Buffalo won't. Patriots went to Buffalo. Buffalo won 27-21. Buffalo won its fourth straight and fifth in their six games. And then they got a big game at Miami this weekend for the AFC East title. When Rager took that opening kickoff, 98 yards or 99 yards or whatever it was, I was like, Rasul, oh shit.
Rasul Douglas.
What?
Can I
Rasul Douglas
read?
Intercepted a pass.
Oh, that's right. Rager, I'm reading the wrong opening. Reading my wrong bullet point, boys. We're off to a flying start.
All right. The New England defense kind of held Josh Allen in check in ways, definitely in the passing game. I think he was only 15 of 30, but he did have a couple rushing touchdowns there on the ground, 44 yards total. There was even that one triple option play that I remember seeing. I think that he what's that dickhead? Third, fourth receiver, Shakir. He like tossed it to Shakir. I thought that was a nice play. I don't know. Like it was kind of not, they wanted it on the ground, definitely not in the air.
Yeah. I mean, they rushed for 127 yards. This is a weird game. There were some turnovers, especially by the Patriots early. We're recording, right? I will give Bill Belichick a hell of a lot of credit. That defense is solid and has played solid all year. And even though they have absolutely no chance of making the playoffs, and they have, it only benefits them to lose. That team plays hard as hell for him, even on offense where they clearly aren't as talented. Bailey Zappi's been playing the last few games. He had 209 yards, but he had three interceptions, no touchdowns. Zeke Elliott's played decent. He had a touchdown and 39 yards rushing. That was a huge number, and we talked about it on Sunday. So not surprised that the Patriots covered, but it would, as much as it looked like it was going to get away from the Patriots early, I'll give them a lot of credit for hanging in there, playing tough, and getting back to where it was a pretty close game all the way to the end.
Yeah, it was. We got a few folks here in the chat. Sway's with us. Kyle, Dallas cheated us. Get the strap. I see somebody woke up and chose violence today. Loud Boy agrees. Captain Spock, he's got some jokes. Tony Pollard screwed a lot of people. Yes, he did, and we're going to get a little bit more in-depth on just his level of suckitude once we talk about the Lions and Cowboys, and then we got Bill Belichick, which is a new one. I ain't heard that one yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
you know, Josh Allen has thrown for less than 200 yards in two of his last three games. In the last three games, he's got two touchdowns, two picks, and five rushing touchdowns. He's a QB1 on the season. He finished as a QB1 13 times this season, which is amazing consistency. On the flip side of that, you talk a little bit about Zappe. That dude ain't shit. New England's going to be drafting a QB next year, be it, you know, Drake May or what's his name? That asshole that won the Heisman, Jaden Daniels. You know, so we'll see what happens there. I think the big thing, though, and this has been talked about a lot, is just the disappearance of Stephon Diggs. Now, granted, this season, he's got 100 receptions again. This is his fourth straight year doing that. He joins Marvin Harrison and Antonio Brown as the only players to do that 4 years in a row. The first 9 weeks of the season, he was your wide receiver three. He was fantastic. Got him on my team. Oh, man, was it great, because I had him paired up with Tyreek. I was already fitting my crown. Since then, weeks 10 through 17, wide receiver 48 in a PPR, which is just unacceptable. And now you're seeing his route participation start to go below 90% over the past few weeks. Or, over the last 4 weeks. Otis, dude, not now. And I was looking at last year's numbers and this year's numbers, because last year he had, I think, 108 receptions or something like that, but it was like 1,400 yards. He's down over 3 yards a catch year over year. Yeah. So I don't know what the hell is going on there. He's not old by any stretch. I know you've got to change an offensive coordinator, and that really looked to benefit James Cook more than anyone else, but, you know, the universe poured cold water on that. Weeks 14 and 15. What the hell is this? He combined for 61.2 points. Week 16 and 17, the fantasy playoffs, he combined for 10.4 points in a PPR. Just absolutely shit the bed and left you standing there with a dirty rag.
Yeah. Dirty sweatshirt. Yeah.
Captain Spock says, Diggs was leading the league in fantasy points per game in 2022 before Allen's shoulder injury with 22 a game. And now he's, yep.
It's crazy, yeah. But it's like they've decided that the way to win, I mean, once Ken Dorsey was let go and they put that other dickhead, I can't remember his name.
Joe Brady.
Yep. It seems they really said, you know what, we're going to run the ball and we're going to win on the run. So, or with the run. And that includes their quarterback, Josh Allen, because he can run really well. And it's helped his fantasy value, but it's killed the receivers. Not, I mean, I know that Diggs hasn't really done well as of late, as you touched on, Matt, but from a non-fantasy perspective, they decided that their path to the playoffs was by running the hell out of the ball and playing good defense. And that defense has gotten better too. So credit to them for not giving a shit about fantasy numbers. But I wonder if that's going to lead to Stephon Diggs wearing another uniform next year.
I think his contract is going to make that essentially impossible. But they've got to figure something out there. They did have a bright spot this season. Rookie Dalton Kincaid, he finished as the tight end 12. That was really buoyed by his performance weeks 7 to 11. He was the tight end 3 during that stretch. He averaged 15.2 points per game. Aside from that stretch, this week was his only week over 10 points a game. But I think the Bills understand what they have in Kincaid, and Dawson Knox is just, no, you should not be running Dawson Knox out there over Kincaid. You shouldn't be running a shit ton of two tight end sets. You need to get Khalil Shakir out there on the field, figure out what the hell is wrong with Stephon Diggs, and I guess try and unlock Gabe Davis. I mean, they've got some work to be done. If they get in the playoffs, they can make some noise. And yes, Captain Spock is right. Not quite a feral cat, but he is certainly happy. That is Otis, and he doesn't give two shits what's going on down here right now. He wants to jump up on the shelf behind me. Yep.
Showing off for the cameras, for sure. What I did see when watching that game or this game is the Bills only completed one pass out of the backfield to Cooks for like a loss of a couple of yards, 4 yards, something like that.
Yep,
and I thought 4. that And I thought that was shocking as well, because you've seen them use him quite a lot. And yeah, they just said, we're going to win this game by running the damn ball.
Yeah. I just want to make one more point. How about Zeke? Hats off to him. You know, he's the RB30 on the season. He really wasn't doing much until Ramondre got hurt. Since week 13, he's the running back 7, got 4 games over 10 points. 2 of those are over 20 points. That's not bad for somebody to plug into your lineup during the stretch run, and he sure as hell did not hurt you.
Yeah.
No. Played really well.
Yeah, and he's been doing it mostly, I'd say mostly on the ground. A lot of it's not through the air. I know Kevin Harris?
Yep.
Kevin Harris, the backup guy's been more of a receiving back. I think this week he actually led with 54 receiving yards out of the backfield. But yeah, big game next Sunday night. That'll be a nice game to watch. Last regular season game of the year.
Yep. Bills can be
it's going to be a big one.
Yeah. Bills could be the 2 seed if they win and things go right, or they could be completely out of the playoffs if they lose and other things go. So Allen had his, like you said, Matt, Allen had his 15th touchdown on a Sunday. That's just one short of tying the juice.
Orenthal.
The team, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. In a 14 game season though.
Yeah. No. 1975, man, he really killed that running game back in the day.
He killed something or something.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
He was found innocent by a jury of his peers.
He was guilty as fuck. George Play, this makes me so happy to read. Somebody else, hey guys, thanks for the advice this season. I got the championship this year. That's awesome. Captain got, nice. Got one as well, or actually 2. The podcast league, AJ, who's on here occasionally as well, won the podcast league, listening to a lot of our stuff as well. It's awesome stuff. I love seeing it. I'm glad if I couldn't get one, I'm glad y'all can get them. You know, it makes me happy.
Congrats, George. Welcome to the winner's circle.
Heck yeah. Yep. You can talk shit forever and lay it on thick for the next, 8 months with your league mates, and hopefully draft a winner and repeat, man.
Yeah.
All right. Next game. What you want to do?
Don't care.
Lions Cowboys. All right. Lions of Cowboys. Lions of Cowboys.
Oh, man.
Jesus. Yeah. CeeDee Lamb, player of the game, I would imagine. Had a season high 17 targets. Wow. 13 receptions for 227 and a touchdown. He averaged a whopping 5.68 yards per route run, a season best mark. That's insane. Tyreek Hill's been averaging like 4.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty damn good. Prescott had a nice fantasy game too, 345. Didn't have a touchdown, but he had that pick. Goff.
He had also, 2 touchdowns.
Or were they rushing touchdowns?
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
No, he did have the one to yeah. CD I needed more time. Definitely needed more time with notes today. Fucking it's regular okay. 40-hour a week job gets just in the damn way. But, and then... Yeah, we can talk about how we got fucked, or maybe we screwed ourselves, or whatever. However you guys want to talk. We got fucked. Happy New Year to everybody, but Brad Allen.
You guys, you pretty much covered on it. When you saw red for about 8 minutes on Sunday, Kyle, I think we covered it enough. I think the only thing that's come out since then is that it sounds like the Lions may have been trying to trick the Cowboys, and in the process of trying to trick the Cowboys by sending multiple linemen to Brad Allen. Brad Allen didn't know what the hell was going on and didn't bother to clarify. So they're going to try to put it on the Lions for not making it clear. But if I sit here and I tell you guys, hey, I'm eligible on this play, and you go, oh, okay, then I'm assuming that you guys know what I'm saying and you're not looking over here listening to somebody else. So, or thinking you're listening to somebody else. So yeah, questionable call. Saw that the crew got downgraded, but we talked about before we got on here, they're set for another national TV audience on that 4 o'clock game with the Steelers and the Ravens on Saturday. So hope they don't screw another team out of playoff positioning or playoff berth.
No, but you know what? I'm an optimistic individual. Let's focus on the positive, and no positive for Cowboys. Piss on them. Jared Goff didn't have his greatest game, 19 for 34, 271, had a touchdown, threw a couple picks. Still this year, he finished as your QB8. He only had four games over 20 points and just one since week seven. He had four games with multiple turnovers. The last nine games of 2022, he had no interceptions. He's had 12 in the last nine games of 2023. And we knew that wasn't going to happen again, right? We knew there was going to be regression, and it was just how much. Now, I don't think anybody thought that it would be a dozen, but it is what it is. Still, at the end of the day, he's third in the league in pass yards. His 7.4 YPA is better than Mahomes, Allen, and Hurts. His 28 touchdowns are more than Mahomes, Stafford, Allen, and Hurts. If he gets 250 and 2, you're looking at a 4,500 yard season with 30 touchdowns. Considering where you drafted him, I mean, he was what, the QB 17 off the board or something like that. While he didn't have that huge ceiling, he only had one game over 30 points, he still had a damn steady floor all season long. And especially if you're in a 2QB or super flex league, that's something you really want. You want to be able to count on that week-to-week consistency, and that allows you to take a chance on more boomer bust guys with your other quarterback. Gibbs had a down game, 15 for 43. He had one catch for no yards off of three targets. He finishes as the RB8, missed a couple games. He's the RB3 since week seven. He only has one game below 11 points, six games over 20 points in that span. This week, he was just the running back 50 tied with Kyle Juszczyk, but, you know, we should all aspire to such great heights.
Monty had a good game, 14 for 65 and a touch.
A touchdown definitely saved it.
ARSB had a nice game, 6 for 90 with a touchdown. Sam Laporta looked good. So it wasn't like you knew it was going to be a tough game going into Dallas, and you guys played really well. Even defensively, you played really well outside of that one play with the beginning of the game when you guys were up 3-0 and what was it, 3rd and 13, and Derek Barnes decided to run right by Dak instead of sacking him,
opening his arms and trying to get him. Yeah, it was shocked. I almost thought like he didn't think that was the quarterback or something. Like, it was just so blatantly weird.
So I think
I think
roughing is so prevalent, roughing the passer, that I think it influences how rushers act at times. Now, Dak still had the ball. I'm not saying that's the reason why he did it, but you see that more now than you've ever seen it before, where people just completely miss because I think they're afraid of, oh, I might hit his helmet or things like that.
Just hit him in the belly. Just hit him.
But even still, like, when you're coming free like that and you have an opportunity to light up a quarterback, if you do it, you're going to get flagged. I don't give two shits if it's a clean hit. If you bury your shoulder right into his gut, they're going to say you landed on him too hard or some shit like that.
That doesn't seem... If that's Derek Barnes's thought process, that doesn't seem like he's getting the message from MCDC, because I don't see him saying that.
Yeah.
He's a go bite your fucking kneecaps or what, like do all this shit. I just don't see him being coached that way. If you have a shot to get to the quarterback, get him. We'll deal with whatever. But God, at least do something. He didn't do shit. Captain Spock says, I hate the Cowboys. Lions. I am a Lions fan, but I still don't like the coaching decisions at the end. You know, no other coach in NFL history would have went for it. I get it. It'd have been nice to go to overtime and try and win that way. You kind of live and die with Motor City Dan Campbell and his aggressive decisions like that. And as a Lions fan who's lived in the basement for decades and decades, it's nice to see the team do that type of shit and succeed on it a lot.
It is long term. I don't think you're going to be successful doing that. I would like to see, as his tenure goes on, for him to get I don't want to say conventional because we've talked about it on this show. You know, the best way to ensure you don't win is to do the same thing as everybody else. But there's also got to be a line, right? Where it's, all right, am I being bold and aggressive or am I just being foolish? And I think he's crossed that line a couple times this season. But at the same time, sometimes it can be difficult to know where that line is without crossing it. And if those bad decisions worked out, we're having a completely different conversation.
Yeah, I think he's a very emotional coach. And I think 95% of the time, that's really what makes him such a good coach and such a good fit for your team. But it's times like that where he's pissed off because they just got screwed out of a call and they got backed up 5 yards and he's fuck it. I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to win. And I'm going to show them. It doesn't matter if the refs are against us. I'm going to do this. So yeah, it did come back to bite him, but the first play was perfectly drawn up. And we talked about it on Sunday, the last play after the offsides, if Goff had thrown a better ball, it would have worked out. And we'd be talking about how fucking big MCDC's nuts are going for it on 4th and 7 and getting a fall or a offsides and then going for it again on the last play and getting it. So it's, I mean, a lot of it is how the result ends up. You're either a genius or you're foolish, but I agree there are times where, and I'm sure he'll learn. He's improved as a coach over the last 3 years, just, but with the experience. And I'm sure this is something that he will learn from. And if he's presented with it again, he may make a different decision or he may not. I mean, it's his call to make and he's willing to live with the choice.
Yeah. And go ahead.
I'm going to say we've got Spock in here with a question, and this is a fair point. If they're a confident team, why was he afraid to go to OT? In my mind, and this is just me purely speculating, you have in CD Lamb somebody who has come into your house, has opened up your refrigerator, drank your beer, eat your food, and he's sitting on the couch watching TV. And there ain't a damn thing you can do about it. And it was all game long. And the way OT is structured, I don't think he had the confidence in the back end of the defense, who on the whole played decently well. I mean, nobody else did shit. Now, granted, nobody else needed to do shit because CD yeah. Lamb put the team on his back. But if you haven't stopped him all day, I don't want to put my money on them being able to stop him in overtime. That's the only thing I can think of, and it's purely me talking out my ass.
And Dan Campbell mentioned yesterday I know we're getting away from fantasy here, but I feel like the conversation's going here, you know, and it is what it is. But even at his press conference yesterday, he mentioned that he told the team that we're going to go down here and score, and if we score, we're going to go for two. And I think he just wanted to keep his word on that, and even if it was kind of foolish. I probably would have kicked it after we got that lucky break when they were offsides, but it is what it is. We can't change it. We got the Vikings at home this week, Dubo. Unfortunately, it doesn't really mean much.
It does for them.
I suppose
they need a win and some help.
Win and some help, but let's move on. Ramey, your Colts.
Yes.
Raiders came to town. We're not a win. It was close. It was a close game.
Yeah, it was. It was a really close game. Colts played well though, and we were texting during and after the game. Garner Minshew, 15-23, right in that sweet spot. That's how the Colts win. He should not throw more than 28 times a game. 224 and a touchdown. He played really well. He didn't turn the ball over. That's exactly what was needed. And I think we talked about it on Thursday, what the Chiefs failed to do on Monday that the Colts needed to do on Sunday was just avoid any foolish turnovers. And they almost fucked it up when they went for that punt block and gave the Raiders some life, because the Raiders hadn't done anything offensively. And then they went down and scored a touchdown after that punt block. So the Colts almost did what the Chiefs did, but they just didn't do it as poorly. They took care of the ball other than that really one play. The defense played well enough against a rookie quarterback who wasn't playing well. He did throw 47 times. Kind of surprising based on the success they had against the Chiefs on the ground and how the Colts have shown they can give up some yards on the ground. Zamir White still had 71 yards on 20 carries, but Aiden O'Connell played well. You kind of saw Davante Adams come back from the dead, but it came down to the end, and the Colts played well enough and were able to hold on to the ball and kind of keep the Raiders from tying it up at the end. So some penalties on the Raiders as well that kind of hurt them at the end of the game. Taylor had 96 yards. It's a season high. He had a touchdown. We talked on Thursday how Taylor historically has done really well against the Raiders, and he continued that. He didn't get over 100 yards, but he still had a really nice game. He averaged 4.6 yards a carry. So Trey Sermon came in and did a really nice job in the backup position with Zach Moss being out. The receiving core, it was pretty evenly distributed. Pittman had 5 for 46. He led the team in targets and catches. But Alec Pierce had a deep catch for 58 yards, and Josh Downs had 2 nice catches for 53. So they did exactly what they needed to do to come in and win that game, a game they should have won. They were the favorite in the game, and now it comes down to one game to make it into the playoffs.
You know, there ain't no way in hell I thought this would be the case before the season started. I thought the Colts were a 5 or 6 win team. They were going to be breaking in AR, who has, you know, limitations and opportunities of his own. He's still super raw. Gardner Minshew, he's a damn good backup. You know, I think you could venture to say he's probably one of the top 35 QBs in the league. Maybe, and I'd listen to an argument for a little bit higher. I think there's some dudes who are starting this year that I would take Minshew over. At the same time, you know, he's not somebody you're going to build around either. He only has six games over 15 points this year. He's a legit starter most weeks, but you're only looking at him in 2QB or super flex league, or, you know, if you're riding a hunch during bye weeks. The big thing, and we saw this the other week, though, just the way the offense looked when Pittman was out and seeing him back again, another 7 targets. He only went 5 for 46. He didn't find the end zone, but that's also a story we've heard multiple times over the course of the season. He's the wide receiver 13 this year. He only had 2 games under 10 points. He had a career high in targets, receptions, yards, had 7 or more targets in 12 games. He was 10 times he was a wide receiver 2 or better this year. He's somebody, there was a little bit of optimism coming into the season, and he really established himself as, I'll say, he's a wide receiver 1, even though he's, you know, you're wide receiver 13. He did miss a game. Was it just 1 game or 2?
It was just 1 game.
So he missed 1 game, and he's continuing to improve. Right now, what's holding him back is just the lack of touchdowns, and it's going to be interesting to see how the chemistry between him and AR comes into play next season. Given that it's definitely possible you would have the choice, and I can't remember if we talked about this or not, would you rather have Michael Pittman or T. Higgins, assuming you can get them for the same salary? That you offer the same contract to both, first one to take it is a Colt. Who do you want?
I'm going to go Michael Pittman. I think he fits the offense. I think Steichen would adapt for T. Higgins, but I think based on the reliability of Pittman, his sure hands and his ability to be physical and make the tough catch, I think it's perfect for a rookie quarterback. I think T. Higgins is more of a deep threat and kind of a guy that you're going to have to be a little bit more accurate with when you're throwing to him. So I think for what is coming in next year, regardless of what, I mean, if the Colts win the Super Bowl, Anthony Richardson is starting next year. Pittman is a better wide receiver for him. And he's still young enough that he has time to grow. And if Richardson develops, I mean, you talked about how good Pittman was from a fantasy perspective without the touchdowns. Imagine if he builds a rapport with Richardson, who's, I think we can all agree, his ceiling is much higher than Gardner Minshew's. Imagine these numbers with 8 or 9 touchdowns. I mean,
he'd be looking at Mike Evans.
Yeah, exactly. So I think for what the offense is and the fact that Josh Downs has shown some signs up until he hurt his knee. And then also even Alec Pierce has come on as a deep threat as the season has worn on. Not a whole lot of volume, but he's good for at least kind of stretching that defense. I think Pittman's the perfect fit for Indianapolis. I'd rather have him.
That makes sense.
I think he probably is for sure. On the Raiders side a little bit. So Josh Jacobs is gone next year. Where's everybody drafting Zamir White, or how much are you going to pay for him in draft dollars?
I think he'll end up being, he's going to be one of those zero RB darlings.
Sure. I mean, if you he's know, getting some, 18 to 20 carries or touches, that's nice.
Yeah, and it's going to depend too on what are they going to do with Farva? Are they going to bring him back, or are they going to look to draft a quarterback? For me, looking at Aiden O'Connell, he's not been great. He's not been terrible. He had a decent game on the season, 1,974 yards, 10 touchdowns, 7 picks, completing 61, almost 62% of his passes. Only has one pick in his last 5 games. To me, that's not enough considering where they're going to be drafting. I think they can get an elite prospect in there. But this is a team that regardless of who they draft is going to be built around playing defense and running the ball, especially if Antonio Pierce locks up the gig like he should. He's done a hell of a job there. But going back to Zamir White, I know we kind of took the scenic route on the way to getting to the answer to your question there, Kyle. I don't know. He'll probably end up somewhere like fifth, sixth, seventh round, something like that. You know, because he's a bit of unknown. He's looked really good over the past 3 weeks. He's averaging 20 carries for 95 yards, and he's found the end zone on the ground. But we're looking at a 3-week sample as well, and so it's important that we not just go sucking each other's dicks about how great this guy is going to be.
Yeah, right.
Let's see how things kind of play out. Let's see what kind of moves they make in the offseason. He wasn't just some amazing prospect coming out of Georgia. He was drafted more as depth. And I think the regime at the time envisioned Josh Jacobs being around a lot longer than what's going to be the case.
Yeah. So, if you had a team for free agent dollar or draft dollars, 200, not a keeper league or anything, you're starting all over. You had 200 draft dollars. How much are you paying for Zamir White right now?
I go 15? Like 7. No, I wouldn't pay that much for him, especially when you can get Monty for $15.
15. Just checking. I was trying to find out where his ceiling might be.
You just don't know what it's going to be over a whole season, right? Or even if they don't bring someone, maybe they sign Jacobs on a reduced number since he's been hurt, or they bring somebody like, I don't know, a Derrick Henry or something to kind of pair with. It's probably not a good example, but you don't even know if Zamir White's going to be the lead back. I guess you probably would as you get closer to the draft, but I agree with you, Matt. It's easy to say that he looks really good, but it's only been 3 games and he's not been in the league more. It's, what is this, his second year?
Yep.
So what does he look like as a lead back over 17 games? What can he give you? And then I know we weren't really talking about it, but Aiden O'Connell, is he your guy going forward? He's a 26-year-old rookie. Like, he's the same age as Lamar Jackson, who's about to get his second MVP. So are they looking for a quarterback in the offseason? What do they do with Jimmy G? Do they cut him and try to roll with O'Connell? And like you said, hope they play really good defense and run the ball and get a good draft pick to maybe draft a quarterback in 25. I don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty. Do they go after a guy like Russell Wilson or a quarterback or Gardner Minshew if he's out there, like a guy like that? I mean, there's so many uncertain things. I think it makes it hard to say what you'd give for Zamir White now, because you don't know what he's going to provide. You don't know what's going to be around him.
Yeah, and I think too, they understand that Aiden O'Connell is not the future. Running the ball and playing good defense is not going to win you the AFC West. Not as long as Andy Reid is there with Mahomes. Now they've got some gaps that they need to fill as well. And you look at the Chargers and just the overall level of talent that's on that team. They're going to have a new regime coming in. They're going to have to do something. They'll be drafting, you know, it, I don't know exactly where, somewhere in the like 10 to 15 range, likely something like that. So there could be some QBs fall there, or, you know, maybe they go the free agency route. I don't know. I don't think O'Connell is the answer though. And if I'm being completely honest, we've spent way too much time talking about Aiden O'Connell. Yep. Captain Spock, he's got the right idea. I pity the fool who signed Russ. Coming from Mr. T there.
Hey, Russ has had a better year than Patrick Mahomes this year.
He is. He'll be a Falcon next year. I'm calling it now.
You don't think Justin Fields will be down there?
No. Price tag will be a lot cheaper.
Maybe the Raiders will hire your boy Harbaugh, and J.J. McCarthy will go.
Dude, why do you keep speaking that shit into existence?
No, that's not happening. See who he hired? He hired Brady's old agent. Don Yee.
Darn. All right.
Next
game. Cardinals. Wow. Cardinals go to Philadelphia and upset the Eagles. I do not know what is going on with the Eagles. They entered this month or December at 10-1 and then just totally collapsed this month. They're fucked up all over. It ain't just one thing. It's play calling. It's their defense. It's just not what it was last year. I did see, Matt, did you see, remember a month or so ago, you said, wait till they pass out of the tush push. And they did this one where they, he tossed it to Kenneth Gainwell and he threw past to Devonta Smith. I thought that was kind of cool. I didn't know if you saw that, but I was like, oh, I need to tell Matt that. But, Cardinals, yeah, they went in there and won, had a big game, had 450 yards of offense. In the second half, they were on fire, scored all four of their touchdowns on they scored touchdowns on all four of the possessions. Get with it, Kyle.
They didn't punt.
And they didn't punt, and they ran the shit out of the ball. James Conner had a great game, ran 26 times for 128, and that game-winning touchdown. It's a big win for Gannon. Went there, used to coach for the Eagles, and went there and won a game. And it's tough to win in Philadelphia, and they did.
Yeah. Before we dive any deeper into that, we have our listener league champion here. Nice. Hey, fellas, thanks for the fun time this season. Enjoyed all the ideas and inside info. He's ready for the playoffs now, but got to say he's looking forward to the baseball season and fantasy baseball. Well, as defending champion of the podcast listener football league, you are guaranteed entry into the baseball league.
There you go. I made him a little
fun.
Oh man, that's crappy. Well, made him a little trophy there. There you go, AJ. AJ's TD squad inaugural league champion. Congrats, yep. Dude.
Good game. Merch will be in the mail as soon as it gets to me.
Yep,
it should be like 2 weeks.
And the gift card's on its way this week. Congrats, man. That's awesome. Where the hell were we? I forgot.
James Conner.
Yeah, there you
yeah.
go.
So here's the thing. He's the RB28 in PPR on the season. And he's one of those dudes who he's better in a standard league or a non-PPR than he is in PPR. He was the running back 14 in points per game. He finished out strong, though. The last 5 weeks, he was the running back 2, averaging 22.2 points per game. And that is, you contrast that with somebody who just the other side of this game, DeAndre Swift, who was fantastic. Started off the year on fire, and he faded as the season went on. He ended up as the RB17, but he scored less than 10 points in 5 of his last 6. He's the RB31 in that span. And you had all this fanfare. I know people were excited, myself included, for Swift, not only this week because the Cardinals have the absolute worst run defense in the league. They give up the most yards. The 4th highest yards per carry, 5th most touchdowns, and the Eagles ran the ball 23 damn times. DeAndre Swift accounted for 13 of those. It makes no sense, and it seems like the Eagles are just out of sync at the worst possible time. and they've just got to hope that they can flip the switch come playoff time. That or maybe Julio Jones is going to lead them to a Super Bowl. He has as many touchdowns this year as he did in 2017 when he had 1,400 yards receiving.
I think that the way the Eagles are playing, they are going to have a quick exit out the playoffs. They can't stop anybody.
Their downfall kind of seems to run with Swift's fallen production. Like when he was rolling and they were looking good with him, they were hard. Nobody beat him. I mean, what'd they start? 10-1, something like that.
10-1.
Yeah. So it's almost like they still are running the ball, but they only ran it 23 times. It's almost like they just need, and I don't know how much Hurts' knee is bothering him, if that's impacting. He didn't have a bad game, threw another pick. No fumbles, which was good. But it really seems like since teams have figured out how to stop Swift, they've kind of figured out how to stop the Eagles. Or at least stay with them and pull something out at the end, like the Cardinals did.
This game almost went, at least as far as the running games go, the opposite of what I expected. The Cardinals ran the ball 40 times for 221 yards. The Eagles ran the ball 23 times for 91 yards. And if you just look at how the defenses have performed over the course of the season, if I would have just given you those lines with no other context, you would have assumed that it was the Eagles who ran for 220 Sure. yards and just beat the shit out of them. But they didn't. I don't know why it's you know what? We're going to blame Matt Patricia, who started calling plays for the defense and
Shaq
his
Leonard.
Level of incompetence has just infected the rest of the Eagles coaching staff. And understand, I ain't got dog in a fight, but piss on Matt Patricia. The Eagles have some problems coming into the playoffs. Devonta Smith is hurt, and we don't know how bad yet or if he's going to miss time or what. AJ Brown's doing some dumb shit on Twitter. I'm going to have a statement tomorrow, really, about what? Until then, who cares? Shut the hell up. You know, they got to figure this out. The back end of their defense is rivaling Detroit's with its just incredible ineptitude. And I did see something interesting come out today from Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon. He was asked directly if Kyler Murray is going to be their quarterback next year. And he said he's number one is our franchise quarterback. Because I know there was, during the season, there was some speculation when it looked like the Cardinals were going to be picking first. Hey, are they going to take a QB and try and move on from Kyler or what? Now, obviously, there's salary cap and contract considerations that go into that. But, you know, at the time, it seemed like a legitimate thought exercise to go through. And now maybe not so much. Kyler's performed pretty damn well. He's the QB10 since he come back from injury. He's averaging 19.1 points per game. He's averaging 219 yards a game. He's got 9 touchdowns, 5 picks, 30 rushing yards. He's been good if you could afford to stash him for the season.
I think he has been really good. And I think part of the reason why you keep him is you have those 2 first round picks. They have a ton of holes to plug that they need to upgrade talent in. And I think Kyler has shown that he's doing well enough that quarterback's probably not the biggest area of need. I mean, they could get Marvin Harrison Jr. or other receivers. They need help on that defense. They need offensive line help. They need so much help. And that, unfortunately for them, that Texans pick that they traded for last year by trading back in the draft looks like it's going to be a mid-round pick. But there's still an opportunity there with what looks to be a top 5 pick and then also a top 15 or 20 pick, depending on how the season ends out. They're going to be able to kind of supplement the talent around Kyler Murray and hopefully build with him rather than having to start completely over with a rookie quarterback. So I was in that group that thought salary cap implications be damned. Get rid of Kyler, move on to Caleb Williams or whoever it may be, start from the ground up. But Kyler's surprised me with how he's come back and looked like a really serviceable starting quarterback with a lot of ceiling there.
Yep. Who knew a toddler could play quarterback? We got Jonas in the house. Another champion.
Another one. Nice.
Nice.
See, this is what it's all about. We either helped you by giving you good advice or you helped yourself by ignoring our advice. But either way, we are incredibly happy for you, Jonas. Kyren Williams, for sure. We're going to be talking about him in just a second. I mean, the dude is fantastic. Three touchdowns championship week. Shit.
We'll just roll right into Rams Giants.
Yeah,
since we're at let's do that minute mark here. Jesus, 87 yards, career best, three touchdowns. I don't know how great he was between the 20s, but it didn't matter because he got you three touchdowns. Stafford also had 317 and a touch, but also had a couple interceptions as well. I think that's his only two in the last few games.
Five games.
Okay.
Yeah.
That Rams team is looking good. I'm a Detroit Lions fan, and it's lining up like we're going to play them, and I'm very nervous. They just have weapons all around. Puka Nacua had a great game as well. He just needs, what, four receptions to break Waddle's single-season record for rookies. I expect him to do that this week.
29 yards to pass Bill Grohman for the rookie record in yards.
Oh, for the Rams?
Yeah.
Just for, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah. Kyren Williams, you're absolutely right. He's the running back five on the season, despite missing four games. He's the RB2 since week 12. He's averaging 114 rush yards per game. What the hell does that say? Oh, he's got eight touchdowns, averaging 24 points per week. We talked about Zamir White. Where are you drafting Kyren Williams next year?
Ooh. That is Zamir White.
Yeah, I think he's...
I would hope so. And if you're going to take Zamir White over him, I want to make sure I'm with you in every league you play in.
Right, yeah. Which is pretty much the case anyway.
third round?
I think he's going to go end of first.
Yeah,
he might go quick.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's somewhere in that like 7 to 10 range. Obviously, CMC is going to be the first back off the board. I think he's going to be in the conversation to be the second back off the board.
Wow.
You've done a hell of a job.
Over a guy like Taylor?
Yeah, just I don't know how he does it because he's a little undersized. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know much about him when he went to Notre Dame, I believe, and I didn't really hear much about him coming out. He had a little bit of buzz last season, in very, very limited action. He looked okay. He's definitely the waiver wire pickup of the year, and understand that people who drafted him this year did so as a handcuff to Cam Akers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he was I think Kyren Williams is going to do something. It's, oh, I got Cam Akers, I'll pick this dude up in case shit happens again, and shit happened again.
So you mentioned that he could be the waiver wire pickup of the year. I would contend there are two candidates on this team for waiver wire pickup of the year, along with Puka Nacua, who we just talked about with his insane numbers as a rookie. And we've talked about this two or three different times over the course of the last few weeks. It really goes to show how good of a coach Sean McVay is. I think people forgot after they won the Super Bowl and they went 5-12 last year. And it just looked like a mess because of all the dead cap money. And what did Stafford want to retire? Did guys move on? They traded Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald. What are you going to do with him? They've come out this year and they've put things together and they've shown that they have a really promising future. And in addition to being a really scary team in this playoff race. So they clinched on Sunday. It was a closer game than I thought it was going to be. They only won by a point. Giants are playing hard still for Daboll, but Sean McVay is doing a really good job. And I saw where he committed to being back next year. So.
Yeah, speaking of clinched, Lions or Rams playing the playoffs, that's how I'm going to feel the entire time. I'll be sitting there with the old butt cheeks clinched. You know, I'll always have a soft spot for Stafford because of the time that he spent in Detroit, and he did a lot of good shit for the community. And you know, we were talking before, it's like he leaves town, and then he comes back into town with his new chick, only to find out his old chick is, like, fine. She lost some weight. She got rid of the glasses, and now she's a dime piece. It'll be a fun game to watch. I don't think Detroit would have an answer for Puka or Cooper Kupp, who kind of looks like now he's really on that downslope of his career. I mean, he's already 30 years old and the injuries are starting to catch up. He's been the wide receiver 19 since he come back from injury. He missed the first four games. He's been the wide receiver 15 during the playoffs. And all right, you know, a high to mid wide receiver too, considering where you drafted him and whatnot, you'll take it. But really, it's been the Puka Nacua show all damn year. 101 grabs, 1,400 yards, only 5 touchdowns, which is a little bit disappointing, but you got to love that 28% target share that he gets. He's gone for 100 yards in 3 of his last 5. He only has one game under 10 points since their week 10 bye.
He's so good after the catch. So many great runs after the catch this season. So many great ones just this weekend. Constantly getting him in a scoring position. He's always there. He's got great hands. They got a great replacement for him.
They run him on jet sweeps too. And he had 2 carries on Sunday for 19 yards. And I'll tell you what, he didn't even lead the team in targets. DeMarcus Robinson did. He had 10 targets. Matthew Stafford really seems to like to throw to DeMarcus Robinson too. So not only do they have Puka, and then they're going to have Cooper Kupp for a while because of his cap hit, but DeMarcus Robinson looks like a nice little piece too.
Nice. And you could have just stopped with saying Matthew Stafford likes to throw.
Yeah.
Because he loves to sling that around.
Jonas says his top 3 RBs next year, CMC, Kyron, and A-Chain. He agrees with you, Matt, on a late first rounder. And Spock thinks Breece will be up there.
It's good. Yep.
I agree with that. From an ACL is always the sweet spot for running backs coming back. And
he had a hell of a year this year too.
Yeah. If they can, Rodgers is back.
Especially last few weeks.
And they can improve that offensive line. And that defense is probably going to be mostly intact next year. You know, I look forward to the Jets doing what we thought they might actually do this year, you know, compete.
Yeah, shit. Breece Hall has been over 26 points 3 of the last 4 weeks. In the past 2 weeks, he's over 70 points total. Jeez, RB4 on the year. He's done a hell of a job. He's a special talent there, and if they can get even competent quarterback play there, that offense can do something. Garrett Wilson's a damn monster too.
They're going to have to fix that offensive line. I mean, it didn't hold Breece back, especially lately, but they're going to have somebody be able to protect Rodgers. I wouldn't be shocked if they don't try to get Bakhtiari over there, but Bakhtiari is just always hurt.
Oh, but, dude, that guy needs to retire.
Well, I mean, they do let Aaron Rodgers play GM there. So
yeah, that's true. Yep. So
all right.
They need to figure something out. So
let's talk about how Kyle lost and is buying us ale.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get that fucking out the way, I guess. Our DFS, I lost again. Matt won.
Yes.
I don't even think there's a reason to play next week because there's no
chance. I can take more of your money, Matt.
I can win.
Motivator for me.
So, I could get congrats. Back to 500.
I'll be down your way there in Indiana. I'll buy you beers and wings and pizza and fries and whatever else you
blow
need in your fat mouth. No. Hookers and blow, for sure. But yeah, just horrible in DFS. Jesus, I was much better in baseball. Good Lord.
You felt really good about your lineup, though.
I did. And that
you were talking a lot of shit.
I was talking lots of shit. Whatever. Fuck you guys. Our aces, deuces, and locks results from last week. I went 4-1. Matt, 2-3. Ramey, also 2-3. One more week, Matt. One more week for all the marbles there. Break down the winning percentage there. You're at 54.71. I'm at 54.12. That extra tie got you half a win to make the difference there.
Push.
Yep. So.
I believe Brandon beat you for third place in the podcast league too. Is that correct?
Nobody gives a fuck about who won third place. He came over yesterday. Watching
that's what people
game.
Who finish in fourth thing. Say.
I didn't start a guy in there. I don't care about third fucking place. Nobody gives a shit about third
place. But you were the representative of the podcast crew in the playoffs, and
it was all on you.
And I lost the week 2 weeks ago. So that's
and meanwhile, care. Here I am champion of those who didn't make the playoffs, which is just as good as making the playoffs. I should really get a shot at AJ now. Double yeah. elimination, College World Series style.
Right.
I'm coming yeah. up through, you know, consolation ladder to take my spot on the throne.
AJ was in here earlier and he won. I did clip the match up there. He smoked Drew. I'm sorry, Ooh. Drew. Sorry, Melton Snowman.
Man.
They got smoked by 60 plus. And I mean, AJ just had so many players just produce.
It's pretty good week when your kicker gets 24 points.
24. Yeah. that helps as well. Pacheco with 28. Connor had a big game. Puka Nacua. Josh, I mean, he just had it. And some weeks you just don't got it, Drew. And that's how it goes. And obviously McCaffrey had a pedestrian game due to getting hurt. So. But congrats again. Can't wait to do it again next year. Can't wait to do it with baseball. So
it's going
to
be fun.
All right. I'm good.
Got anything else? I think Matt needs to go to bed.
Yeah.
So
looking forward to that.
All right. We will be back here on Thursday evening with a preview of week 18. A lot of playoff implications, a lot of good matchups, and we'll take any questions or comments that you guys have. Not too many fantasy things. We may still have some folks with leagues going on this week, and we'll be happy to answer those questions. We'll also be on Sunday morning at 11:30 for our last Tinker Time of the year. So really appreciate everybody that hopped on. We had some really good interaction tonight. Looking forward to Thursday. Don't forget to like, subscribe if you haven't already. Tell your friends. Visit our website at www.stonedonsportspodcast.com. Hope everybody has a great night.
Hold on. We got Jonas in here contributing nice. To the conversation.
Oh,
thanks. It's crazy. The only first round receivers that constantly performed throughout the year were Tyreek and CeeDee. And a lot of the first round RBs like Bijan and Eckler weren't great as well.
For different reasons.
True. Don't leave out Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's been fantastic the whole year. He had a little 3-4 week stretch where he wasn't as fantastic. He was just excellent. But yeah, Tyreek on a tear this year. CeeDee, I was kind of low on him. I was more higher on Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave coming into their second years than I was on CeeDee. I thought he'd plateaued a little bit. And I think, you know, his emergence in large part is due to the play of Dak Prescott. But I also think the play of Dak Prescott is due in large part to CeeDee Lamb kind of figuring some stuff out and really cementing himself as a top five guy.
Yeah.
Kiss on Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
I accurately predicted his downfall. It only took me 3 years to do it. Yep. Gonna be right one of those years. And then Captain Spock, you are absolutely correct. Monty in the eighth won a lot of leagues. That man has a nose for the end zone, and he's on a team that absolutely loves to run the ball and will continue to do so. And even with the emergence of Jahmyr Gibbs as the season went on, you still saw Monty getting his 15 to 20 carries every single week.
Yep. Sweet. All right, Ray, me already said goodbye. So, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, see you.